church. Amen. How many are you glad you're saved?
Yes.
Amen. If you ain't happy you're saved, always preachers stand up and say, how many are you glad you're saved? I want to tell them, you know, never mind. I better not say that. But if you ain't glad you're saved, there's some issues with your salvation. Amen. And or at least your understanding of it. And more than likely, you ain't saved. Hallelujah. I had another pen. And I find stuff all the time. I forget where I put it. Y'all, some of y'all understand that. Some of you ain't got a clue. Amen. All right, we're in James chapter number 4. And I preached here 3 weeks ago. Was it? This is 3 Wednesday nights ago. So somebody tell me what we talked about in James chapter number 4, like 3 Wednesday nights ago. You go, girl. Wow. She ain't been here as long as me either. Anyhow, that's the last message she remembers. All right, now, perfect. That is awesome. That is perfect. All right, she said worldliness. That's what we were talking about. I didn't think anybody would get it, so I'm kind of stumped in what to do right now, all right? And but anyhow, I'm very proud of you, Miss Stacy. All right, so worldliness. James dealt with worldliness, and I've got a cough drop, and this is going to get ugly. Is that what was on this earlier?
It works.
Amen. It works. All right. So, anyhow, James was dealing with worldliness in the Christian and in the church in the first few verses of this chapter. Now, we're going to go back and we're going to read those first few verses, and we're going to springboard into the rest of the chapter through them first few verses. All right? So, let's read down through verse number 5 to begin with, and then we'll take verse number 6 and we'll begin preaching, all right? Now the Bible says this, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain, you fight and war, yet you have not because ye ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss. In other words, what James is trying to tell us here is the things you are asking for, they ain't the correct things to be asking for. All right? How many of you know this? My kids, we give them a Christmas list. Hey, what do you want for Christmas? What's the first thing they're going to say? New car. I need somebody to help me. Ain't happening, dude. All right? You're lucky if you get a pair of socks this year. This joker talking about, I want a new car, all right? Is everybody understand what I'm saying? All right, so there's things that we ask for that we ask amiss. In other words, we're not going to get them. They're not in the benefit of us getting them. They're not a benefit to us getting them. And so we ask amiss. And he's saying here that those things that you do ask for, you don't receive, but you ask amiss, because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts. And he says, now listen, this is what he says about him. All right, he's dealing with the church here, and he's talking, this is James. He's talking to the church. Of course, we know he's talking to the 12 tribes, but this is it. He's the very first book that's written chronologically. So the church is just now, we're starting to transition into this period. And he says in verse number 4, ye, help me right here, adulterers and adulteresses. He says, when you might have the mindset that you want something, you have a lust and a desire for something, and that's your mindset, you're constantly going after it, he couples that with being an adulterer or an adulteress. He's saying you're cheating on God. Is everybody with me? This is what he's saying. He's saying you're cheating on God. Now, let me tell you how this has worked out for me. There was a, this week, there was something that was said while I was at this camp meeting by a preacher. There was something that was said. Matter of fact, it was Brother Sean. And he just made a simple comment. And he says, Ishmael, talking about Abraham's son Ishmael. You know, you had Isaac, the son of promise, and Ishmael, the son of Hagar, all right? The bondwoman. We've been dealing with this in New Testament or a Bible college with the grace and the son of grace, the son of the law, all right? But anyhow, he said it wasn't Ishmael's fault. And that thing just kind of struck me, you know, because I mean, how many times do we beat up on poor Ishmael, but it wasn't Ishmael's fault? He was born into a situation he had no control over and he did nothing for, all right? But the Bible says that he had war in him. And this is where my mind went to on this thing. I might have shared this with Brother Scott and him. I think I did. But my mind went to this war in him. Why did he have war in him? I immediately thought back and I thought, you know what? He was blessed. Ishmael was blessed. The Bible says that God blessed him. The Bible says that God made him fruitful. God made him multiply. And the Bible says that 12 princes was born out of Ishmael. A nation was made out of Ishmael. God blessed Ishmael. So why was war in him? And this is a thought that God gave me. War was in Ishmael because Ishmael was not satisfied with what God could give him. He wanted what Abraham could offer him. And then it come to this. How many of us aren't satisfied or content with what God gives us? We chase after what man can give us. And this is what James is saying. You adulterer and adulteresses, you're cheating on God. God has given you what you need. God has given you blessings beyond your need. God has given you blessings beyond your deserving. And yet, you still want more. You still want to go outside of God. You still are lusting and warring and fighting and all these things amongst you for something that the world can give you because you're not satisfied and content with what God has given you. And so he couples this with the thought that ye are adulterers and adulteresses. He says, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Division, separation. They can't coexist. To be a friend of the world, you can't be a friend of God. He says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Now, who's he talking to? He's talking to the Jewish leader. He's talking to the church. He's talking to us. He's talking to the brethren. He's talking to those that are Christians. And he says that if you're friends with the world, you're at enmity with God. And he says if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. Now, if he left it right there, come on, I need somebody to help me. It'd be ugly. But he doesn't. He goes to verse 5 and he says, do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? In other words, that flesh in us, that old man in us desires, he dwelleth, that dwelleth in us lusteth after jealousy, envy, something that we don't have. He said it's in us. Is everybody with me? But it gets good in the next verse. In the next verse, when we go there, he says, but he giveth more grace. Now, we just left off with James calling us a bunch of adulterers and adulteresses. And he said, hey, it's in you. The Spirit said it, and he didn't say it in vain, that you lust after the envy. You lusteth to envy. He says, but, y'all ain't getting it, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So tonight, that's what I want to talk about just for a few moments. We're going to finish this chapter tonight, but we're going to look at it, and I want us to obtain that grace. Because God says, as Dalton testified just a few minutes ago, there's new grace for all of us. New mercies every morning. We have an abundance of grace. And the Bible says, according to James, he will give us more grace. So how do we obtain it? That's the question tonight. How do we obtain it? I want to say this. Every single Christian in this building tonight can obtain more grace by practicing the following directives. There's some things that James lays out in the rest of this chapter that is going to teach us how we can obtain more grace. And I don't know about you, but I could use some more grace. I don't know what you feel about it, and I don't know where your life is and how you went through this week already, but I can go ahead and tell you that if I'm going to make it through the rest of this week, if I'm going to make it through the rest of 2020, if I'm going to make it to Thanksgiving, I need more grace. So, how can I obtain more grace? Well, I'm glad you asked, all right? Number one, how do I obtain more grace? Number one, I've got to verse number seven. Verse number seven, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So the very first thing that we see this morning, or tonight rather, is if I am going to obtain more grace, then I am going to have to recognize his authority. I have to recognize his authority. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. You ain't God. I need somebody to help me right here. You ain't in control of your life, no matter how much you feel like you're in control. Yes, you can make the decisions of your life, but when it's all said and done, God is the one that has the switch on your next breath. God is the one that decides when your hole is going to be dug, and when your coffin is going to be made, and when your coffin is going to be closed, and who is going to preach your funeral. The fact of the matter is that life is a vapor, as we'll see here in a moment, and God has the control of it all. And until you and I recognize his authority in our lives, we're not going to receive grace. As long as you and I are trying to obtain on our own whatever the world has to offer, we are going to miss out on grace. How many of you notice in the verse before we read, it says this, it says, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but give grace unto the humble. I read this today, and I think it was J. Vernon McGee, but he may have been quoting somebody else, but he said, humbleness is the vessel that God chooses to pour grace into. I thought that was pretty doggone good. Why in the world would God give grace to somebody that was proud and thought that they had everything figured out? Oh, somebody better help me tonight. Why in the world, if you think you got it all figured out and you think you're the one that's running this show, why in the world would God extend grace to you? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I want that more grace. See, I believe verse number seven. Go back to verse number seven. We'll go back to six in a minute, but just listen here. He says, submit yourselves. Everybody say that next word with me. Therefore. What is therefore when we see it in the Bible? What does it mean? What do? We got to go see what it's there for. And it's therefore the verse right above it. That more grace. It's therefore, submit yourselves therefore to God. Why therefore? Why should I submit myself? What am I supposed? Go back in the next verse. He giveth more grace. He giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If you're going to receive grace, and if I'm going to receive more grace, we're going to have to submit to his authority. We don't like that. I need somebody to help me. We don't like that. But that's what James is saying. Remember, we're talking about practical Christianity when we're talking about James. We're talking about putting our faith to our feet. And he says, you want more grace? You're going to stand up? You're going to testify about more grace? You're going to pray and ask for more grace? Then you're going to have to submit to his authority. Amen? Say, preacher, I don't know how I can do that. Let me give you, if you don't mind, let me give you just an illustration. When you go to the doctor and you got your little illness, and that doctor, he checks you out, he looks you over, and he listens to your lungs, and he listens to your heartbeat, and he looks in your ears and up your nose and down your throat and all these other things that in your eyeballs and everything else, and he does all this, and then he says, this is what I think's wrong with you, because he don't know. This is what I think's going on. and this is what we're going to do. I'm going to prescribe this medicine and this medicine and this medicine and this medicine. Yep. Right? Now, which pharmacy do you use? The cheapest one. Whichever one you can find. The cheapest one. That's the one that I use, right? So anyhow, we tell him our pharmacy. We run to the pharmacy. We get 16 different pill bottles and everything else because we got a runny nose or whatever we got. We go to the house. Everybody with me? We get there. We go there to pick up our medicine because the doctor told us to. We submitted to his authority. We get there and we get to the pharmacist and they pack all these pills for us and they give us this bottle and tell us, okay, you got 10 of these pills, you got 15 of these pills, you're supposed to take these pills. Now what you want to do is you want to take two of these first thing in the morning, you're going to take one with your meal at lunchtime, and you're going to take one at night. Is everybody with me? And they tell us all, they give us all these directions of how we're going to do it, and you know what we do? We do it. You know why we do it? Because we submit to their authority. We look at it and we say, you know what, that doctor knows more than I do. And if he's saying that this is what's wrong with me, then I just might as well trust him. That's what I'm going to do. Then we go to that pharmacist and they're handing out all that medicine. Said, you know what, they mess with medicine all day long. If they mess with medicine all day long, then surely they know what medicine's supposed to do and how it's supposed to be taken. So if they tell me that I'm supposed to take two of these in the morning, one in lunch and one in the afternoon, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And we submit to their authority. But yet when God, who created it all, when God, who's done it all, seen it all, been there, done that, all right, everything, he's thought of it before you have thought of it, but yet when God tells us to do something, we sit back and say, well, I don't know now, God. I don't know about that. I think I'll just try to do it on my own. I mean, let's be honest about it. It ain't never hurt me before, not. You know, sometimes the damage that medicine can do is not seen until much later in your life. And if you take it misdirected, it could be lit. Come on, y'all help me now. Y'all know where I'm going with this. It doesn't always hurt right on the, it don't hurt right then. It may not even affect you right then, but you keep on taking medicine the wrong way. And sooner or later, it'll be the medicine that's got you jacked up. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Can I say this, and I'm going to move on to point number two. We really like that part about resisting the devil. Matter of fact, most people, this is the part of that verse that they can quote. This is the part of that verse that they'll share with everybody else. But you know what they leave out? Submit. Go to the next verse, Miss Carrie, verse number 7. The part that they leave out of this verse, they love quoting to resist the devil and he will flee from you. But the part that they leave out of that verse is submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Because there ain't none of us that like to submit ourselves to anybody. Right? Is everybody all right? So my question tonight is this. Have you submitted yourself? And don't sit there and tell me you submitted to God and your life ain't as showing it. Amen. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. By the way, that word resist right there means fight against. All them lust and all them desires. Oh, y'all getting this? Everybody all right? All them lust and all them desires to envy, all that stuff, we're to fight against it. Keep it out of our life. Submit ourselves to God. Can I say this too? I promise I'll move on from this in a minute. But the closer you are to God, the farther the devil's going to be from you. And you believe what you want to, but the farther you are from God, the closer the devil will be to you. The closer you are to God, the farther he's going to be away from you. Amen. You don't believe it? Look back on your friends when you first got saved. You had friends over all the time and y'all ain't talking about God. You got saved and all of a sudden you're talking about God and got a Bible in the house and ain't got no friends. I need somebody to help me. Say, devil's in my house, preacher. Well, then you need to get closer to God. Y'all, I had this thing planned out. I was going to be done preaching in 30 minutes. Y'all are taking, you're messing me up. Devil's in my house, preacher. You need to pray for me. The devil's in my house. You let him in. You let him in when you push God out. Because God, if he's in that house, the devil wouldn't be in that house. Because them two cannot coexist. And so the closer you get to God, the further he's going to be away. Amen. Everybody all right? Let's go to the next directive. These are things that we actually can do. We can submit to God. And we can, number two, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. This point number two, done jumped all over it. I said if he's in your house and you got to get God in the house, am I not right? You submitting to God and drawing nigh to God are two different things. Draw nigh to God and look at what he'll do. And he will draw nigh to you. I don't know about you, but I like it when God moves in my direction. But the way I understand it, Brother Scott, is for him to move in my direction, I'm going to have to move in his direction. I mean, if I understand that verse right, it is on me to start this thing off. Because just like we preach Sunday morning, Jesus, if we'll let him, will pass right on by. But according to this verse and according to James, if God is going to draw nigh to me, I'm going to have to first draw nigh to God. I like that. It reminds me of an illustration in the Bible that Jesus gave, a story that he told of this son that went out into the world. And he burned up all of his living. He used up all of his living. And the Bible says that he ended up in a hog pen. And he would have ate the food that was given for the hogs. And he came to himself and he said, how many servants does my father have? And they ain't hungry. They got a place to live. They got shoes on their feet, clothes on their back. He said, I'm going back to daddy. And I'm not going as a son, but I'm going as a servant. And he says, I'm going to go back and I'm going to tell him I was wrong. I sinned against him. I sinned against God. And that Bible story tells us, Jesus said to that boy, he was coming back. He was drawing nigh to the Father, and the Father was looking for the Son. And when he saw the Son, the Bible says that he ran hither and fell on his neck and kissed him. But it was because the Son moved towards the Father, and then the Father drew nigh to the Son. Amen. Tonight, we're going to have to make a decision. If we want more grace, we're going to have to submit to God. If we want more grace, we're going to have to draw near God. We're going to have to not only recognize his authority, but number two, respond with our actions. Respond with action. We have to draw nigh to God. And to draw... Everybody all right? Man, I love preaching like this. I love when the Bible just preaches itself. If I'm going to draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to me. But listen, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Because you don't want to get close to God. You don't want to get close to a holy God when you got sin all over you. An impure heart. Yeah, we got some actions that need to take place in this drawing near. We got to draw near, but we got to get cleaned up. Somebody help me. I'm reminded of Exodus chapter number 3, I believe it is, where Moses said, man, look at over there, there's a bush burning. He said, I think I'll walk over there and see why that bush is burning and it ain't being consumed. And he got over there near that bush where God was. Help me if you know the story. God was in that bush. Matter of fact, God wanted to speak to Moses in that bush, and Moses said, whoop, I think I'm going to go over there and see why that bush is burning and it ain't consumed. And Moses moseyed on over to where that bush was, and Jesus said, stop right there. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. We in the middle of a desert. We in the wilderness. A sheep just walked through here, Lord. It ain't about where you're at. It's about who was there. It ain't about where he was at. It was about who was where he was at. And the reason that that was holy ground is because God was there. See, you can't just draw nigh to God any way you please. We got to cleanse our hands. That literally means, he said, you got to get washed up. You got to clean up those things that are in your life. All those things in them first verses, that worldliness, that lusting after, all those things, we're going to have to clean them up before you come to him. Then he said, you're going to have to purify your hearts. I think this is, to me, this is one of the greatest truths. Y'all hear me say this all the time. I'm more concerned about your heart than I am about the beer bottle that you're carrying around. I think we put so much of an emphasis on the sins of the outside that we miss the sins of the heart. And I think it's a lot more detrimental to everybody in the auditorium for you to have bitterness and envy and strife and gossip and all these things in your heart versus you carrying around a stinking beer can. Is everybody all right? That might be your soapbox for everybody. But the fact of the matter is every one of us wake up in the morning and fight pride. Y'all going, you might as well say amen right now, because we going, hey, listen, you know what James deals with in this chapter? We fixing to see it. Pride. James, okay, you don't believe me. We'll get there, all right? Is everybody all right? So we're to respond with our actions. Let me ask you this question tonight, and I'm going to move on to the third one since you don't believe it exists. All right? I'm going to ask you this. Are you willing to act upon what you've heard tonight? Hey, I want more grace, preacher. You're going to have to submit to it. I want more grace, preacher. You're going to have to draw nigh to him. Well, how do I draw nigh to him? You're going to have to clean up. You have to purify your heart. He said, look at verse number 9 before I move on. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. God ain't wanting you to be sad. You know what he's wanting, Brother Kenny? He's wanting you and I to look at sin like he does. And instead of rejoicing over sin, he wants us to mourn over it. Cleanse us. In other words, he wants us to hate sin so much and love him so much that you and I mourn over the sins that are in our lives. I let this sin in my life and it's keeping me from getting closer to him. It ought to break our heart. Amen. I don't know about you, I want the right relationship with him. And if I have sin in my life, I should be at a place in my spiritual walk where I say, this is keeping me from fellowship with the one who saved me. I have to get it out and mourn over it. Is everybody all right? All right, y'all ready for the third one? Third one we find in verse number 10. It says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Boy, I like that. Amen. I like how all of these things, I mean, we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil. The Bible says the devil will flee from us. And if we draw nigh to God, the Bible says he'll draw nigh to us. And if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, the Bible says he will lift us up. So we must, number 3, restructure our attitudes. Everybody all right? You know what James is dealing with in verse number 10? I'm going to give you one guess. Thank you, Brother Mark. Pride. That little old thing that all of you acted like we don't have. That little old thing that everybody is like, I ain't proud. Let me tell you, if you have to tell somebody that you ain't proud, let's go ahead and mark it down. You're proud. Okay. If you have to boast of your humbleness, then you're not humble. I need somebody to help me. Amen. Hey, we're competitive, especially in my family, we're competitive, right? I mean, everything about us has been about pride my whole life. I've been taught that I'm supposed to do this to the best of my ability. I'm supposed to take pride in my work. I'm supposed to do it better than the guy standing next to me. Right? And all it did, man, it's great motivation for a youngin', it's great motivation for an athlete, but for a Christian, it's detrimental. Because all it does is produce pride in us, and more pride and more pride. So you know what James says we got to deal with? If we're going to get more grace, we're going to have to humble ourselves. Now listen, in the sight of the Lord. Now, Brother Scott, I don't know. I don't know how this has been preached in other churches or other preachers, but that spoke to me differently than humbling myself to God. I'm to humble myself in the sight of the Lord, meaning that in the things that I do here, I'm to be humble. We'll all say this, I'll humble myself before God. You doggone right you do. When you understand who God is, you'll humble yourself before God because you know that He can speak and you're done. But this verse says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. Oh, why are y'all so quiet? What does it mean? We got to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. Well, I'm glad you asked. Now, we have a reward because the Bible says if we'll do this, He shall lift you up. So what we want to obtain can be attained, but it can only be attained if we humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. So to get high, we got to get low. Some of y'all ain't going to get that. I'm going to say it again. To get high, Him lifting us up, we're going to have to get low. Oh, and not low to Him. You ought to be low to Him. We done covered that in submit yourselves, therefore, unto the Lord. Amen. That's humbling yourself before Him. This is something different. This is something different, Jesse. I believe it. He says, next verse, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. So it gets better. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who are you? Who are you? Who art thou that judgest another? Well, I ain't got no pride in me. But yet he says when you run your mouth about somebody else, then you sit as a judge over not the law, Mosaic law. He's not talking about the Mosaic law. He's talking about the moral law. He's talking about the moral law of God. He's not saying that we ain't talking about Mosaic law. He's saying when you go to running your mouth falsely about somebody, you go to running your mouth in a situation you don't know about, you go running your mouth about a brethren, he said, you have suddenly elevated yourself to a position that only one person holds.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And that one is the lawgiver. And who is the lawgiver? God. You see how pride causes us to look at others and to treat others? Pride, if we allow it in our lives, we think pride lifts us up, but God says, oh no, not my economy. If you want to be lifted up, you're going to have to be humble in my sight. Can I just add something to the Bible, and I hope I'm not taking anything away from the Bible right here? In my sight to others. Is everybody all right? preacher.
You'll not find anywhere in the Bible where we're supposed to be humble to one another.
I'm glad you said that. I wasn't even thinking about this. I promise you I wasn't. But it just popped into my head. In Ephesians chapter number 5, that good old story where the wife is told to submit to the husband and the husband's told to love the wife. Does everybody remember that?
Yep.
The verse right before God gives the command to wives to submit to their husbands. I just had to add that. All right. It says this. Submitting, verse number 21 of chapter 5, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. You may read it again. I know it's a lot. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wait a minute. You said I was supposed to submit to God. Yeah, we covered that in point number one. Now we're on point number three. And point number three says we're to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord. And we do that in how we treat others.
Amen.
He's already covered humbling ourselves to God. Now he's dealing with how we treat others. How we treat the family, the brethren. Is everybody all right? I'm not finished. He goes on. He tells us that we're to humble ourselves. And a way that we humble ourselves in submitting to one another and to being humble to one another. But here's another one. As we go on, keep on going, Miss Carrie, if you will. In verse number 13, he says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. I'm going to stop with that one verse. Does that not sound very proud? Well, this is what I'm going to do. Does this sound like somebody that's submitting to God? Does this sound like somebody that's humble before the sight of the Lord? God, this is what I'm going to do, y'all. I'm going to go buy some property and I'm going to invest in this and I'm going to do all, is everybody all right? And I'm going to sell that property. I'm going to do that. This is how it's going to work out, God. Trust me, I've been there. I've been on this one right here. I can promise y'all, I'm speaking from experience. I jumped out there, bought a house in 6 years. I tried to get rid of that house. That house about killed me, about killed everything about me. And is everybody all right? But do you know the problem in that thing? I had my plans all figured out. God, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go buy that house, Brother Scott. When I finish up with college week, me and Michelle are going to sell that house. We're going to make some money, and we're going to move on in ministry because that is what we're going to do. Amen. And then Democrats happen. I'm kidding. It was Obama. But anyhow, and he's not the Antichrist, right? Right? All right. So anyhow. We went over that in college last night for those of y'all wondering where that come from. All right. So the pride, this attitude of I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, God. He says it's an attitude of sin. I'm fixing to prove it to you. All right. Go to the next verse now. It says, so we got this. We're going somewhere. He says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Amen. Nothing wrong with having anything. Ain't nothing wrong for making plans. Ain't nothing wrong for seeing out there beyond tomorrow. But we need to understand something. Jesse, God doesn't have to let you wake up tomorrow. God doesn't have to allow you to lay down in your bed tonight. God doesn't owe you a safe ride home. God doesn't owe you a walk out this building. If God allows it to happen, that's the only way it will happen. Because what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Go to the next verse, please, ma'am. We'll finish up the chapter. For that, because of that, for that, you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's a good lesson for all of us. Prescott, Dalton, you already got a plan for next year going back to Texas? If the Lord allow it. Yes, good boy. You good. You good. He's smart. If the Lord will. If the Lord allow it. Then I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. Next verse. But now, right now, you rejoiced in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. In other words, when we stand up and we say, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to do, in God's eyes, it's boasting. And God's grace, it just don't, remember, it was humbleness that is the vessel that God pours grace into, not boasting. And James says all that is evil. Now, I don't know what y'all think about evil, but when I see evil, I think it's not right with God. Amen. Brother Norm nailed it. It's sin. Okay? Now, he's not through, but I am. Next verse, and I think we'll be done right here. Therefore, because of everything, I done read the whole chapter. We done gone over the whole chapter. There is no excuse for any of y'all. Y'all ready? Amen. Therefore, when we see therefore, what do we have to do? Go back and find out what it's there for. I think we've done covered that. Is everybody good?
Amen.
All right, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You know what James said? I give you everything you need to know about how to get grace and more grace, submit, draw nigh, humble yourself. Now you know it. And if you know it and you choose not to do it, somebody say, ouch. And if you know it, and then you choose not to do it, to him, to her, to them, to thou, to thine, to thee, it is sin. So tonight, will you recognize God's authority, respond with action, and restructure your attitude? She's coming to that piano. These altars are open for him that knoweth to do good. Did y'all just hear what I said? The altars are open for him that knoweth to do good. Now you'll choose whether or not to do it. Heads bowed while they're coming. Father, Lord, I pray tonight, God, that those are on the altar doing business with you. Lord, I know, as we said at the beginning, I need grace, and Lord, I need more of it. God, I imagine that everybody in this auditorium could say the same. Lord, we need grace and more of it. Lord, may we take what we've heard tonight and submit ourselves to you. Resist the devil. God, may we draw nigh unto you. And God, humble ourselves in your sight. Lord, that by submitting to you and resisting the devil, he'll flee from us. By drawing nigh to you, God, that you'll draw nigh to us. God, by humbling ourselves in your sight, God, you will lift us up. God, help us tonight to take the truths, the directives of James chapter number 4, apply them to our lives in such a manner, God, that we walk with you in submission, drawing nigh to you at every occasion and being humble in your sight. God, we love you tonight. God, and we thank you for the privilege of the Word of God, for the privilege of the house of God, for the privilege of prayer in the child of God. Lord, I pray that you touch us as we go our separate ways. And if the Lord allows, God, I pray you bring us back safely Sunday. God, that we may learn more about you, grow spiritually, become the Christian that you want us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You